For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Okay, let's open in prayer tonight as we come around this very important subject, biblical answers about hell. Heavenly Father, we praise you, we thank you, and we honour you, Lord. And tonight we ask that you show us by your word the very important area of hell and where the lost are going and those without Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the redemption and salvation that you provide through our Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight we're looking at a very serious topic, and that is biblical answers about hell. We give no apology for preaching what is in the Word of God. And the Word of God is very clear about the existence of hell and its eternity. That is, that it is forever and ever, and that it is a place of suffering and torment and punishment. Let's have a look, first of all, before we go into the slides, look at Luke 16. And we're going to have a look at a story that Jesus told. Now, there are some cults that say that Jesus was only saying a symbolic story. But if you believe the words of Jesus and believe that Jesus never told a lie, but told the truth and the reality, then you'll understand that what he was saying here was actual and true and fact. Look at verse 19 of Luke chapter 16. It says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day." Notice, this is Jesus speaking, "there was." So either there was or there wasn't. Okay, those who deny hell and say that the soul sleeps after death are in great trouble if they say that Jesus is telling a lie here or is not correct. Verse 20, "And there was," once again, "there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." So you should be able to clearly see in verse 22 that when a person dies, and it says here the beggar died, that his inner man, which is what the angels, which it says here, carried, his inner man was taken, and the angels carried him into a place prior to Christ called Abraham's bosom. That's the name of a place. And prior to Christ, the resurrection of the righteous had not occurred, and people had not been born again, and so there was no access for the righteous into heaven. After he was raised from the dead, he took captivity captive and took them all up to heaven. Now that's another topic where we're not going to go into great detail about that. But at the time, prior to Christ, there was a great chasm between a place called hell and a place called Abraham's bosom, where the righteous saints of the Old Testament went. The end of verse 22 says, "And the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." So here he was in hell, And in hell he was able to see across a chasm and a gulf, and he was able to see the place called Abraham's bosom, and he was able to see Lazarus. Now you see there were two different things that happened to these people. The rich man, obviously not a believer, and we'll look at that in more detail soon, died, went to hell. The beggar, obviously a believer, was taken by the angels to Abraham's bosom, where obviously Abraham was. Verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime, a person only has one lifetime on this earth, receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And it's exactly the same today. Once you're in hell, you stay there, and there is a great gulf. Obviously, the Abraham's bosom section of hell is now empty because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a quote here, and this quote comes from the father or the apostle of faith, as he's known, Smith Wigglesworth, and he says in his sermon Preparation for the Second Coming, preached August 11th, 1927, he said, what has the man of sin always said? Why, exactly what Russellism, now Russellism is what many people know as the Jehovah's Witnesses, I prefer to call them Russellism or Russellites, exactly what Russellism says, what? No hell, the devil has always said that. What does Christian Science say? Okay, now Christian Science, started by Mary Baker Eddy, is another devilish cult. What does Christian Science say? No hell, no devil. They are ready for him. The devil has always said, no hell, no evil. So we can see that there are Christian cults, well, so-called Christian cults today, who deny the existence of hell or deny the eternity of hell, and certainly deny that people are in hell suffering. So why is the doctrine of hell important? You know, Hebrews 2 verse 15 talks about Christ's deliverance of people when people come to Christ. It says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. A universal fear amongst man is the fear of death, the great unknown. And a lot of many people are so fearful of it, particularly as they get closer and closer to death. Why is that fear? I believe it's because they know that there is some sort of judgment. And in fact, if we looked at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56a, it says, the sting of death is sin. Sin is rebellion against God. Sin is coming against his word and trespassing against God's way. And there is a sting to death, and it's related to sin. It is, the sting of death is sin. Now, we who are Christians don't have that sting of death. In fact, that sin problem, that barrier to us and God, is dealt with through the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a sting to death, and many people inwardly know it. They know it. They have this fear of death. They know that they've done wrong. They know that they need some sort of answer to it. John 3, verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath, it's present tense, hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Abideth means stays on them. In other words, the the sin problem, the sin barrier, the sin that is such a stench to the Lord is going to be judged, and it's either judged through what Christ has done, because he took our sins on the cross, in his body, and we can receive his righteousness because he was made a curse for us, or you can ignore Christ and reject him and never receive him as your saviour, and that means that the sin has not been dealt with in your life. And that is a very, very serious problem, because the wrath of God is always on sin. The judgment of God is always on sin. So the doctrine of hell is very important. And Revelation 4 verse 11 says, O Lord, thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now this is very important, that people can either choose to give God pleasure, and of course that means going his way, or choose not to give God pleasure, because everyone has been created, because it says created all things, the Lord has created all things, and it's for God's pleasure that they are and were created. So people have a choice. They can either choose to go God's way or choose not to go God's way. But if you see, if you choose not to go God's way, then you stay under the condemnation of sin, and that's what John chapter 3 tells us. So what is the future without Christ? Well, Mark 16 verse 16 says, he that believeth, and that's talking about believing the gospel, and is baptized shall be saved. Okay, saved from what? Saved from sin and all its consequences. Shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And damned means judged to go to hell. And we also see in Revelation 20 verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, the Bible says that in the future, death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. So hell still exists, but it'll be merged into a place called the lake of fire. This is telling us clearly that if people's names are not written in the book of life, and the only way you can get your name written in the book of life is through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving him as your Lord and Saviour. Praise the Lord. Also, let's have a quick look at Hebrews 10, verses 26 and 27. People cannot afford to just ignore the Lord Jesus Christ. By doing that, they are ignoring the one who can save them, the one who can take them completely out of condemnation and into being just or righteous. Of course, if you want your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you must be born again. Because except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Hebrews 10, verses 26 and 27 says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice of sins, but a certain, fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. We'll talk more about that fiery thing in a minute. We read before in Luke 16 that the judgment of hell with the rich man was a fiery, tormenting one. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Jesus preached a lot about hell. And we went through one story that he told, true story. He preached a lot about hell. He preached the gospel, the Bible tells us. So quite clearly, and he told people to repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Quite clearly, the Lord Jesus Christ came for a purpose, and it was such a serious purpose that he came for, that unless people acknowledge him, they are in for certain judgment, certain fiery indignation, which shall devour. Now, because many people don't understand the nature of death, we're just going to have a quick look at the nature of death. Now, for believers in Christ, the inner man departs as follows. Philippians 1, verses 23 and 24 says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to," what's that word? "Depart and to be with Christ," which is far better. "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." So here, Paul is saying that he can abide in the flesh, that is, in his body, and be of use on this earth, even though this earth is a cesspool of sin, and we could go through many things about earth, but it is a faded remnant of what it should be. But of course, God is going to restore that in the future, a new heaven and new earth. Praise the Lord. So he's saying, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So, you know, it'd be wonderful to go to heaven, but you've got to go to heaven when the Lord wants you to go to heaven. Okay, and he's saying he has that desire to depart and to be with Christ. So clearly, to depart or go out of your flesh for Christians is to be with Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That's really good. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8 says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Okay, the cultists can't get around these verses. They try to twist them and so on, but they cannot get around. If you're absent from the body, if your inner man is absent from your outer man, where are you? You are present with the Lord. Obviously, you'll go to heaven and you'll be with the Lord. And also James 2 verse 26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead." So death is separation, not extinction. Okay, always remember, death is separation, not extinction. Here we see if the spirit, which is part of the inner man, is separated from the body, what happens to the body? The body becomes lifeless and it looks as though it's asleep. Okay. It looks as though it's not moving. And that's important. I said it looks as though it's asleep for a very important reason, because certain cults take scriptures about sleep and they say, oh, that's applying to the soul, that's soul sleep. But all of those scriptures relating to sleep are relating to what I'm going to show in the next verse here. And that's Daniel 12 verse 2a, "And many of them that sleep in the" what? "Dust of the earth shall awake." Of course, talking about the resurrection of the body. So if you were to see the body of a dead person in a coffin or a casket, they just look as though they're asleep. Okay, and that's obviously, once they're buried, they then decompose into the dust of the earth. So the body without the spirit and soul takes on the appearance of sleep. And you can also see Genesis 35 verse 18 says, "As her soul was in departing, for she died." So death is where the soul and the spirit departs from the body. And all over this earth, there are reminders of death, where the body is buried in cemeteries all over the earth. Why am I talking about the nature of death? Because we need to understand that once you die, you don't get extinguished, because everyone lives forever. Once you're created, you live forever, but you either live forever with God in his kingdom or live forever without God outside of his kingdom. That's the two realities. For those who reject Christ, it is as follows. John 8 verse 24b, Jesus warned, "If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Now, what's the problem with that? If you die in your sins, the wrath of God abides on you. It stays on you. The judgment stays on you. You have not You received Christ, you've ignored the Saviour, the only one that can save you. And it is only Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Psalm 9 verse 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Let me just mention to you about the difference between the term the wicked and the just. Wicked is not just, oh, I've been doing wicked things. Wicked is the state of a person's heart. Have they been washed clean by the blood of Jesus? Their sin has been washed away by the blood of Jesus, and now they have the righteousness of God, so they're justified in the sight of God. So the wicked and the just are just talking about two different categories of people. Some people try to say to you, well, I don't believe in Jesus, but I'm not wicked. I haven't done wicked, evil things. You know, God will overlook all the bad things I've done and weigh up all the good things. No. As you know, if you were to come before a judge and you had been judged guilty of sin, and then you went and said, well, I've done all these good things, well, God's not going to ignore all the sin, is he? Okay, and this is the same type of thing here. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. We read just before in Luke 16, verse 22 and 23, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. John 12, verse 46 says, I am coming a light into the world. Whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Okay, darkness is away from the Lord. Darkness is away from the light. Okay, so obviously you don't want to abide in darkness. The nature of death for the unsaved, for the wicked, for the lost, is that they continue to abide in darkness. So what is hell? What is hell? Hell is a spiritual prison for rebellious spirits. We won't turn to these scriptures, but Matthew 16 verse 18 says that hell has gates. Revelation 1 verse 18 says it has keys. Matthew 18 verses 3 to 9 and Revelation 20 verse 3, and you can compare it to Daniel 6 verse 24, which talks about Daniel being cast into the den of lions. He uses the word cast there. So it's like a dungeon. Hell is like a dungeon. Hell has different sections in it. Deuteronomy 32 verse 22 talks about the lowest hell. Proverbs 7 verse 27 is a similar thing. It is for punishment and torment. All these scriptures, Matthew 25 verse 46, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8b and 9, we'll look at some of these in a minute. Revelation 20 verse 10, all talk about hell being for punishment and torment. It is to separate the wicked from the righteous or just. Matthew 25 verse 46 deals with that. It has a gulf or barrier that cannot be crossed. Luke 16 verse 25 and 26. One interesting thing, a book or booklet written by Kenneth Hagin Sr. Called I Went to Hell, he talks about he was taken down, as an unsaved person, he was taken down to the gates of hell. He wasn't actually thrown into hell, but he was about to be. Taken down to the gates of hell three times. He died on his deathbed three times, and then went back, came alive again, and went back down again, and came alive. This is called a near-death experience. Many people have had it. There's a lot we could say about those, but he talks about going to the gates of hell three times. If he had been, and he says it in his booklet, and I would like you to read it. If you haven't read it, we've got copies here. He said that if he had been cast into hell itself, he would not have come out. So after the third time, he received Christ as his saviour, and then when he died again, he was starting to go up. All right, we'll talk about the location of hell in a minute. So we see that there are reasons for why does hell exist. Matthew 25 verse 41b says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." So obviously if people are not born again, they have another spiritual head or spiritual leader, which is Satan, the devil, and they go where the devil and his angels go. The lost or unsaved are those that, and 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8b and 9 says this, the lost are those that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now some people say, well, that everlasting destruction means they'll be destroyed. They won't exist anymore. Now it's not referring to that. Remember we quoted from Revelation 4, which talked about all things were created by the Lord and they were for his pleasure. Now the problem is when people die and go to hell, their function of being pleasurable to God has been destroyed. So they're talking about destruction of function as a person that that glorifies God, not the destruction of the person, him or herself. So you can see, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, so they won't be in God's presence, and from the glory of his power. So there's a separation there, isn't there? The Bible talks about the second death, when death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. So why does gospel preaching include hell? It should now start to be obvious. But the gospel says that according to God's law, man is dead in trespasses and sins. Okay, that means separated from God because of his trespass and sins, Ephesians 1:2b, which means man is separated from the life of God. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. So that was his purpose, to come into the world to save. Okay? Not to condemn. Why? Because everyone without Christ is condemned already. Okay, so he's come to save people, to save sinners. The word sinner just means a servant of sin. That's in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, which means he is the saviour from sin. So everyone needs the saviour from sin. Praise the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ is man's only hope. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We can't work our way to heaven. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ did all of the salvation works. He paid for us by his blood. He purchased us. And now what men and women have to do is obey the gospel. They have to believe it, repent of their sins, and receive Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. Praise the Lord. So it's a gift. It's a free gift. God is extending his hands in love and saying, "Here is my gift, the gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ." Praise the Lord. So why does gospel preaching include hell? Well, there are two types of people on earth. The wicked, sinners, and that's because that's their state. That's their internal state. They're dead in trespasses and sins. And the just or the righteous. And that's clearly illustrated in Matthew 13 verse 49 and 50, which says, "So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Why does gospel preaching include hell? We've said it before, we'll repeat this. Mark 16:15-16, Jesus is speaking, and he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." The good news that Jesus Christ came to save sinners from their sin. Okay? Wonderful news. The Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price. Okay, just before I get on to where is hell located, I want you to understand that spiritual things are connected to physical things. For example, remember I talked about the inner man and the outer man. If I stand here, where is my inner man? It's connected to my outer man, isn't it? It's inside my body at the moment. Okay, obviously, if my inner man separated from my outer man, my body would just fall to the ground, lifeless. Now, if I move two steps over here, where's my inner man now? Is it over here or over here? It's over here, isn't it? So you can see, and you've got to understand this, because if you don't, you won't understand the location of hell. The inner man and the outer man are connected. God knows how they're connected, obviously, but they're connected. And it's not, and they stay connected until you die and either go to heaven or hell. Okay? So if you walk over there, your inner man is connected to your body, your outer man, and will walk with your outer man. So where is hell located? Now, the scripture's very clear. When it refers to hell and its location, it's always referring to down. Down. So where is the one place where you can say down on the earth and you'll always be pointing to hell? It has to be the middle of the earth, isn't it? So it's no coincidence that the middle of the earth is very hot. Obviously, it's spiritually hot because there's flames and so on, but it's also physically hot down there as well. So Psalm 55 verse 15 says, let them go down quick into hell. Proverbs 7 verse 27 says, the way to hell going down. Proverbs 15, 24, from hell beneath. Isaiah 14 verse 9 says, hell from beneath is moved for thee. Ezekiel 31, 17 says, they also went down into hell. Luke 10 verse 15, thrust down to hell. 2 Peter 2 verse 4 says, cast them down to hell. The only place that you can say down, and you can be located anywhere on the earth, the only place hell could be is in the middle of the earth. And so where the scripture talks about location for hell, it's referring to the middle of the earth. So obviously the earth goes around the sun. So where is hell? It's travelling around with the earth at the moment, isn't it? So it's a spiritual place connected to a physical place, the planet Earth. And it's the middle of the earth. So just as an aside, when we talk about heaven, it's always up. Okay? Up. Praise the Lord. But you can listen to that if you listen to the sermon, Biblical Answers About Heaven. That's on the website. You can listen to that. So what is hell like? Well, the Bible talks a lot about hell. It tells us what it's like. We're going to go through the several scriptures related to it so you get an idea of what hell is like. And it is not a place you would want to go to. It is a very it is a place I think we have very little understanding of just how horrible it would be. Psalm 11 verse 6 says, fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. So there's storm-like conditions there. Isaiah 33 verse 14 talks about the devouring fire, everlasting burnings. Psalm 18 verse 5, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. So hell is a place of sorrow. Matthew 8 verse 12 talks about the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Obviously not the physical teeth, but the inner man has components, just like the outer man has. Matthew 13 verse 42, a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So a furnace of fire, there's fire there. Luke 16:23 talks about in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. So it's a place of torment. Let's continue on. I want you to see that hell is a major doctrine. And one of the big things that we're meeting up with in today's modernist type churches is a great downplaying of hell, and modernist society downplays hell quite a lot. It is interesting that if you put the word hell into Google, you come up with all types of fiery, tormenting pictures. So there is still a collective memory or understanding, even though they might think of it as fiction, they still understand that the word hell is a place of fire and torment. Revelation 14 verse 11 says, "The smoke of their torment ascendeth up for ever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night." So it's a place of torment, no rest. Luke 16:24 says, "Have mercy on me, for I am tormented in this flame." So they're tormented in the flame. Matthew 25:46 says, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment." It's a place of punishment. Psalm 116:3 talks about the pains of hell. So it's a place of pain. Revelation 14:10 says, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone." So we see the wrath of God, sin has to be dealt with whilst you're on the earth. You cannot ignore the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the reason we preach the gospel, to get as many people as possible into the kingdom of God. What is hell like? John 3:36 says, "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." 2 Thessalonians 1:9 talks about punished with everlasting destruction. That's destruction of function, not person. Mark 9:47-48 talks about hellfire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. We'll talk about what the worm is in a minute. We cannot answer all the questions about hell tonight. We're just going through some of them. There is so much that we could cover. Luke 16:28, and the rich man says this, that he's in hell, "For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." It's a place of torment. So what is hell like? Revelation 20:10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Place of torment forever and ever. Revelation 20:14-15 says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So who goes to hell? Okay, obviously unsaved people go to hell. Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth not shall be damned." And Psalm 9:17, these are just two amongst many, "The wicked shall be turned into hell." Evil angels and spirits also go to hell. For example, in 2 Peter 2:4, it says, "God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell." Obviously, the devil or Satan is going to hell. Revelation 20:10 says, "The devil shall be tormented day and night forever." And all things offensive to God that don't give him pleasure, in other words. Matthew 13:37-42 says, "All things that offend, there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Does God want people to go to hell? 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And John 3:16, one we know well, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God gave the most precious thing he had. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly came, and the most precious thing His blood was shed and paid for man's sin. Ignore that at your peril, because it says, should not perish. God does not want people to perish. Sadly, modernists undermine the doctrine of hell. One of the major ways it does it is through the modern versions. The word hell occurs 31 times in the Old Testament in the King James Bible, but in the Old Testament of the New International Version, it occurs 0 times. If that's not an attack, then what is? In the New Testament, the NIV takes out hell 9 times. It's just staggering. We'll just go through one example. Psalm 116 verse 3 in the King James Bible talks about the pains of hell. Don't you want to know what hell is like? The pains of hell, it says, the sorrows of death compassed me and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. The NIV says the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. No indication of hell in that verse at all. And then the New King James Version, which is a counterfeit of the King James Bible, says the pains of death surrounded me and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. I dare say that the average person in the street would know or have some idea of what hell is, but have very little idea of what Sheol is. So, in Luke 16:23a, the King James Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. But the NIV says in Hades, where he was in torment. And remember, this feeds into the mythological, you know, Jesus was saying a mythological story with the rich man and the beggar. It feeds into that. The New King James Version also says, and being in torments in Hades, he lift up his eyes. It's a direct attack on the doctrine of hell. You know, the descent of the modernists goes right down into complete godlessness and atheism. So is hell eternal? Okay, Mark 9 verse 47 and 48, Jesus is saying, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Well, what gets cast into hellfire? It's not the physical outer man, is it? It's the inner man. So it's talking about that being cast into hellfire. The worm is the person's torment of endless remorse. And no doubt there'll be people who'll be thinking, why didn't I listen? I thought that Christian witnessing to me was a fanatic. Why didn't I listen? But they wanted to go their own way. Revelation 14 verse 11a says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or nor night. And 2 Thessalonians 1:9a says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Everlasting destruction is referring to the destruction of a person's function, not of them as a person. Okay? The cultists would say that destruction is of people as people, extinguished, go out of existence, which is completely wrong. Just a quick one, are babies in hell? We are reminded of the great abortion epidemic on the planet now, where children are killed all over the planet in their millions, in the wombs of mothers. They're not going to hell, they're going to heaven, okay? By nature, all are sinful, but by personal transgression, babies are innocent. And you can look at Psalm 51 verse 5, Psalm 58 verse 3, Ephesians 2 verse 3, John 3 verse 16. Obviously talking about believing the gospel. Babies can't believe, okay? But what I believe, and I think the scriptures are very clear and seem to indicate this, is that aborted babies, for example, would go into a section in heaven, be instructed about the Saviour, and would become born again. So it's not it's not a problem. Matthew 19 verse 14 says, but Jesus said, suffer little children, means allow them, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so by personal transgression, they're innocent, even though by nature they still have that sinful nature that needs to be dealt with. Obviously, it would be dealt with. Matthew 18 verse 10 says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So little children have angels assigned to them, praise the Lord. We'll just go through this mythological doctrine. Does the devil rule in hell? Even some Christians seem to think that the devil is ruling in hell. You can read that cartoon there. There's many cartoons where you can look on the internet. It'll bring up all types of cartoons where the devil's ruling in hell and he's supervising people's torments and so on. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's just a made-up thing. The reality is that the devil is not in hell currently. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So his mission at the moment is on earth to get as many people out of God's will, and of course going to hell. And also Ephesians 2 verse 2b says, the devil is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So that the devil is working in the children of disobedience now. This is a big topic, but just a very brief summary. The Bible tells us that Lucifer, who is an archangel, fell from heaven. And you can see that in Isaiah 14 verse 12. And in Luke 10 verse 18, Jesus said he beheld Satan falling from heaven. And that he will one day be cast into hell. You can see the prophecy in Isaiah 14 verse 15 and also Revelation 20 verse 10. And that day will be after the second coming of Christ. Okay, so the devil is currently the prince of the power of the air, also wandering around the earth. Will the knowledge of hell spoil heaven? Revelation 21 verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. If God says there's not going to be sorrow in heaven, you can believe that. Okay? You can believe that. Isaiah 25 verse 8 says, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all their faces, and rebuke, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. So the Lord will wipe away all tears from off all faces. Heaven in the future for Christians is not a place of tears or a time of sorrow. And of course, 2 Timothy 4 verse 8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. So believe that God is righteous, and he's the righteous judge. So the knowledge of hell is not going to spoil heaven. I mentioned a book, I Went to Hell. I just want to mention this here, and a quote from page 17 of that book from Kenneth Hagin is, it takes more than belonging to the church and more than being baptised in water to miss hell and go to heaven. We should know by now, and I've said it several times, that you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your saviour if you're going to go to heaven. How can people escape hell? Jesus made it very clear in John 14 verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Acts 14 4 verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Notice, must be saved, just like must be born again. So only the name of Jesus. Jesus, Matthew 4, verse 17, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus wants you to go to heaven, not hell. And John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Okay, so everlasting life, eternal life, is quality of life. Remember, you live forever. You either live forever with God in his kingdom or live forever without God outside of his kingdom. People have a choice. And lastly, I'll just refer to a few references. Kenneth Hagin's book, I Went to Hell, 1997. Morris S. Rawlings, who's an MD, medical doctor, he wrote a book in 1993 called To Hell and Back, where he goes through several experiences that he had of people who were on their deathbed, and he resuscitated them, and they said to him, "Do something, do something. When I'm dying, I go and I can see hell." So it's quite a scary book, actually, but it's a good one to read. Also, I preached, and you can get this off the website, Biblical Answers About Heaven, good one to know, and also What Must People Do to Be Saved. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you tonight. We thank you for your wonderful salvation that you provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so thankful. Father, we are so thankful that you sent your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so thankful that the blood of Jesus has washed us clean from our sins. And Lord, we are appreciative that you have saved us with a mighty salvation, and that we don't have to go to hell, but that we can live forever, have eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, show us what you want us to do whilst we're on earth, how we can reach the lost. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.